Job chapter 2, verses 5 through 14. There's a world of things there that I think probably it would do well to stop and think about a particular time like this. I didn't have any idea that this lesson that I was preparing, peace on earth, was going to come at a time when we had the kind of tragedy that we have suffered this week as a country. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's the King James Version. That's the way I learned it. And as we think about that, I ask myself, and for some reason, for the last number of years, this particular verse has kind of stuck in my brain. And I ask myself, what does it mean when the angels came and they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men? Has it happened? Do you see peace on earth? Goodwill toward men? I've started more than one sermon to explain this scripture, and they inevitably end up in the file entitled Sermons I'm Working On. If Jesus came to bring peace on the earth and goodwill among men, how's that working? And where is it? I don't see very much peace on earth and goodwill toward men among nations, do you? I don't see very much in our own nation, do you? And I know lots of churches where there's not very much peace and goodwill. But this is what the angel said was going to be the result of this child being born. And this is what God was going to accomplish through this child's birth. And I would like to stop at this time. People expect the preacher to say something in times of tragedy like this. And for me personally, I'm learning that if I'll keep my mouth shut for a while until I get control of my emotions, I usually do better. And so I would like for you to join me in a prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, there are so many things that happen on this earth that we just can't comprehend. Evil is so violent and so out of control that it just hurts our hearts and our souls when things happen like this shooting and the killing of so many little innocent children. And Father, we feel a deep sense of anger and sadness. And we thank you that we can come here as your children and we can meet together and we can sing songs and we can pray to you and we can study your word and we can encourage each other and we can feel security and love and peace and know that it still exists in this world. And when it seems like that evil rules the day, then, Father, we thank you that we have this peace and security and love in your Son, Jesus. And, Father, help us to learn to not only hate the consequences of sin that we've seen so graphically illustrated this week, but help us to learn to hate the sin itself that leads to this kind of action. And, Father, we ask that you would give us your peace. And Father, if this is a little taste of what hell is like when evil rules the day, unbridled, and Father, it reminds us of how desperately we want to be in your kingdom. And Father, help us to order our lives in such a way that the evil will be taken away from us. And that when it does happen in this world, that we will have that security and that peace and help us to share that as we go out into the world, into a world that's violent and filled with anger and hatred and jealousy and murders and deceits. And Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who brings sanity and peace and love and unity and harmony to this world. And help us to be lights in this really dark world. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. One day I was reading this passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I'd read it all my life. Glory to God in the highest, or in Latin, in excelsis, glory, what is it? I had it down. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Yeah. I was reading this in the New International Version, and it said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And I checked it in the American Standard Version. It says, glory to God, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. And I have to tell you that this message is one that I can more readily understand. That is not what determines how you translate a verse. But I have to say that I can see and understand more in light of on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests than I can on earth peace and goodwill toward men. In this message, I see two statements that define actually Jesus' mission on this earth. To God in the heavens, it was his intention to bring glory. And to men on earth with whom God is pleased, Jesus will bring peace. And if of all the things that the angels could have said, the myriad of things that they could have said about Jesus, if this is what they were impressed about, I want to know what it means, don't you? Jesus constantly stated, giving glory to God and honoring God in heaven was his priority. You remember in John chapter 11, his statement to his disciples when they received word that Lazarus was desperately ill and he stayed where he was 2 more days, and he said, this sickness will not end in death. It is for God's glory. And then whenever they got to the tomb and he insisted that they move the stone from the entrance of the grave, then they protested. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You see, that was his goal in everything that he did. It was what he intended to accomplish and desired to accomplish for his Father. He wanted everyone on this earth to see his Father for who he was and to glorify him and be awed by him, even in submitting to a painful, cruel death of execution on the cross. It was for the purpose of glorifying God. He said in John 12, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. And then he said, Father, glorify your name. He even made provision to continue accomplishing this same mission even after he died. He promised his disciples that he would, John 14, 13, do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. It's always been his intention, his purpose. It continues to be. Jesus did absolutely nothing without considering how will this glorify my Father. And so I believe that Jesus did and is accomplishing what the angel said about him to bring glory to his Father in the highest. And may I suggest that this become a criterion for our lives, that we don't do anything. And this is the whole point of this series of lessons of the New Testament concept of worship, that we don't do anything without considering in both our words and our actions, will this glorify my Father in heaven? Will this please him? Will this make him proud of me? And if we were to apply that criterion consistently to our lives, how much would our lives change? Would there be some things in our life that we would leave off? We would say, you know what? I can't do that because I know that God wouldn't be glorified with that. And if we're his sons and we're his daughters and it's our purpose to glorify God, then we will leave off those things in our life. And then the second proclamation, which I believe is directly connected to the first, in other words, I believe when he accomplished the second, the first one is once again accomplished, and that is to bring peace to men on earth with whom God is pleased. And I guess that there couldn't be a more timely lesson, and I really appreciate Sonny coordinating the songs with the lesson. There is some sense in which God does bring peace among men when one of the parties involved pleases the Lord. But and it's kind of an interesting verse, Proverbs 16:7. And remember, it's a proverb. He says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, it tells us it's not an absolute, right? But it is a general truth. It's a proverb. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. But that's not his primary objective. I know this because Jesus said in Mark 6, woe to you when all men speak well of you. And in Matthew 10:34, he said, do not suppose I've come to this earth to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And so I know that's not his primary purpose. So in spite of what the Miss America contestants wish for each year, and while world peace is certainly a worthy ideal, that's not what the angels intended when they made that statement. So what peace is it that the angels were so excited about that Jesus was going to introduce into the world? Well, if we go back all the way to the Old Testament, in spite of what we may sometimes be told or tend to believe in the Old Testament, God is a God who's all about peace. He really is. You're likely familiar with the compound names of God in the Old Testament. We've had a series of studies of that in the past. And some of those, at least, you're familiar with how they originated. One of those compound names of God in the Old Testament was Jehovah Shalom. And Shalom is a Hebrew word that means peace. It was a name that the judge Gideon gave to God when he had seen a representation of God, and he immediately became aware that he had been in the presence of God, and he became terrified that he was going to die. And God responded to him, peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. Judges 6:24. And so he named this place Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah, my peace. And I believe that that meaning, God is my peace, summarizes what the angels meant in that statement at Jesus' birth. Peace is the result of security. Through Jesus Christ, God has given me the ultimate security. And when I see the evil, the kind of evil that we saw this week, then I have to tell you, I want that security. And I feel a real need for that security. The world doesn't know what true peace is, and far too many of us as Christians don't really know what true peace is. Peace is being content rather than being dissatisfied and wanting more and more stuff in this world. Peace is not being afraid. Not being afraid to die. And not being afraid to live. Peace is having real purpose in your life. Peace is investing your important treasures in heaven and knowing that God is guarding those treasures for you and that you'll never lose them. And where are you going to get that peace? Where in the world are you going to go to get anything that rivals that? Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the congregation said, amen. We sang a song a few minutes ago, and we hadn't even discussed this song. We did discuss the one just before the lesson. We sang a song, "My Only Peace Is You, Jesus. My Only Peace Is You." From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you. And when you try to find peace anywhere or through any other means in the world, you'll never have it. But only in Jesus Christ can you have a peace that the world can't understand. The world cannot understand how in times such as this that you can have peace. And you can have peace, and we do have peace, because God is my peace. Jesus Christ is my security. When I was a young preacher, I would often get frustrated when things weren't moving fast as I thought they should in the congregation. And I can remember more than one time impatiently saying in a meeting with the elders, "I'd rather have a good fight going on than nothing." But that was before I was involved in fights where I saw brothers and sisters crippled, and some of them killed spiritually. To this day, they don't want anything to do with the church or Christ or the Word. That was before I knew that too often, even when you win, you lose. I've seen too many fights, and I've been in too many fights. I don't like seeing people hurt anymore. And I don't like to hurt anybody anymore. I think Paul put this in the perspective that I want to illustrate in Ephesians chapter 2. When he says, and he reminds these people, remember when you were separated from Christ and you were excluded from citizenship in God's family, and you were foreigners and without hope, and without God in this world. And you know, I probably shouldn't throw this in here, but somehow, as I thought about this, and particularly the last day or two, I think about, I don't know anything about this young man that chose to kill these children. But from the evidence, these things must have been true about him, that he felt excluded. I'm not trying in any way to justify anything he did, but that brings a hopelessness. If you feel like you're on the outside and there's no way that you can get in and you're without hope in this world, then what does it matter? And how can you have peace when you're not a part of God's family? And the answer is, you cannot. Because everything that the world offers at peace is temporary, and it breaks down. And it's based on other people and what they think about you and how they feel about you and how they treat you. And they're not going to always treat you well. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 2, after reminding them of how they were on the outside and there wasn't anything they could do about it, they were excluded. They were foreigners, without hope, without God. Then he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. And he doesn't change. And so now I can sing with all of my heart, when peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Thank God. I've been blessed personally to come to know that peace. And my goal in my life is for you to know that peace. I can't offer it to you, but God does. And He did it through His Son, and He does it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. That's your emotions and your desires. It will keep them. It will guard them in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that peace. It's available. You can know this peace only in Jesus Christ. Because the source of all of the pain and evil and suffering and heartache in the world is sin. And only God has the solution for our sin problem. He alone. It is sin, the love of it, the consequences of it that keeps you from having that peace that can be found only in God. If the world, if you, if I would only avail ourselves of that peace that's only in God, then we would know a peace that takes us through the most difficult of circumstances in the world. And we would still have that security. My security has not changed. Has yours? My hope is still as firm as it's ever been. This hasn't changed it. My love for God and my peace, the peace that comes from God, I still have. And I have that secure knowledge that one day when the Lord sees fit to come and take me home, I'm going home to be with Him. And so I can say, what does it matter what man does unto me? The worst he can do is take my life. And all he does is punch my ticket to go home. And I get to go home. You can have that peace. You can have that security. It can be found only, and it is found only in Jesus Christ, while we stand and sing.